Welcome back to the Act Two Podcast, a podcast for the real life working screenwriter. I am Tasha Hugh.
And I am Josh Hallman.
And as a reminder, Act Two is a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter, which means we have things for you to join our community, like our Patreon, our Act Two Writers Patreon, where you can join a chat room that includes Josh and I, of course, but also a bunch of other writers who just also want community. They are awesome, and they are asking cool questions, and they are starting their own Zoom coffees so that like people all over who are also listening can meet other writers over Zoom. And then, of course, we have monthly activities for those writers and bonus content. I think this month we're doing a live Q&A, our second of the year. And the last one was super fun.
Yeah. It's great.
It's great.
I want to join. I want to join one of the Zoom coffees that happen.
It should be fun. I think you should.
How are you, Tasha?
I'm all right.
Happy Oscar week.
I am curious, Joshua. Do you love the Oscars? Hate the Oscars? Do you watch the Oscars every year? What's your deal?
I love the Oscars. I watch them every year. They're still a part of me. I still like it. I know it's just kind of a silly award show to a lot of people. But I love the Oscars. What about you? Do you like the Oscars?
I don't think I've watched the Oscars for several years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to watch them.
Do you follow the Oscars?
Not really.
Great.
No. I used to watch them for all growing up. It was an event at the house. We'd always watch it. And even as a kid, I feel like I watched a lot of the movies that were in the Oscars, which is weird because now I watch less of them. So why as a kid would I watch more of these dramas? But I did. You just watch more movies when we were growing up, I think.
Yeah.
And I loved whoever the host was always going to be very exciting, how funny they were going to be. And then somewhere around, I have a very clear memory of disliking the Oscars when I had just graduated from grad school. And all of us who had gone to grad school together as screenwriters came out to LA. We were trying to, you know, shoot our shots, and we were interns and trying to be assistants and just work our way up. And we all had an Oscar night, and we did an Oscar pool, and people made themed snacks. And I was like, this is the best. But then we sat down to do the red carpet, like that, because the red carpet is so long. It was always my least favorite part. And all that they did, because it was mostly women in our group. There were a few dudes, but it was all like shitting on all of the women and their outfits and how stupid they looked or how fuckable they looked. And I was like, what is happening? This is terrible. I need to leave. Like, this is clearly their favorite part and it's not fun. And so I think after that, I just stopped caring about it. And then I'm sorry, this has been a long story, but then I think the straw that broke the camel's back was that one year I was like, sure, and I don't even remember what movie it was, so there's my care level, but one year there was a movie I was like, this is definitely going to win. It is the best movie. There's absolutely no way that it's going to lose to any of these movies, and it lost. And some movie that I just absolutely did not believe in, that I thought was so dumb, won. And that happened a few years in a row, and then I was like, I'm done. This is made up.
Wow.
These people aren't listening to anything that's real out there. They're just going with their whatever taste, and I got mad. So I stopped watching.
Wow.
However, I have now met Paul, and he loves the Oscars.
Oh, thank God. Paul, of course,
so
Paul saves the day.
That's the point. As I'm back, and we've watched a lot of them this year, and so I'm ready to have this conversation.
Okay, well.
Josh, fell asleep during that.
I did not. I was listening. I was like, oh my God, what is this episode going to be?
I've just never watched an Oscar movie in 20 years.
and listen, I understand the red carpet. It's silly. If you can kind of take yourself out, it is silly. There is parts of the, like this red carpet. Who are you wearing? It's ridiculous. And it's why a lot of people kind of look down on certain things about Hollywood, where it's like there's a very superficial element to it, but it is also the entertainment industry. But I understand. I get it. But I do. There is still something that I hold on to. However, there is still a significant bump for some of the movies when they win Oscars.
Huge. And it clearly still means something to people. Like the actors are clearly the people who are in our industry still really believe in them as having value.
I have to tell you, your opinion of the Oscars actually has made me more excited for what's about to unfold. It makes sense. I'm like, this is great. And you're like, I don't know, man. All right, well, buckle up because I'm about to come in with some hot.
Let's go.
Where do we begin?
What are your favorite movies this year?
We're going to get into the best pictures. Some of my favorite films. I'm just going to list these off. We're not going to do this for every single category, but I just for the sake of this one. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen all of these movies, Tasha?
No.
Which ones haven't you seen?
I've not seen Anatomy of a Fall, and the reason is the reason is a lot of these movies are depressing, okay?
Yeah.
And so, like, we'll be like, okay, this week is the week we're watching Anatomy of a Fall. And then we're like, emotionally, we're not ready to deal with a story about a woman who possibly killed her husband and the child who she's using to cover it up. I can't do that. And then Killers of the Flower Moon, I just was never going to watch because I don't need to see that story. Maestro, also depressing. So I couldn't bring myself to watch that one. Past Lives, definitely on my list. However, it's just slipped through the cracks. Hopefully I will see it before the Oscars. And then Zone of Interest, I just missed.
Yeah.
That's half of them.
No, but it brings up a good point because like when you speak to the Oscars and like the interest in some of the movies that people have, a lot of these movies, like I feel like the Oscars gain interest when there's like popular movies that everyone has seen. And then you get to see these, like a lot of the movies in the past, people haven't freaking seen. There's movies like that just, like, listen, I loved Parasite. I loved it. But not everyone has seen Parasite and won Best Oscar. So I think sometimes that's the reason why people are like, man, what the hell is this show? Like, I have no idea what that movie was about.
Yeah, they're often sort of disconnected from the movies people are excited to go see during the year.
This is why I still stand by the Blockbuster Award in the Oscars, that it should be here. Like, every year, I still think Top Gun Maverick should retroactively get an Oscar for Best Picture, but whatever. So out of the movies you have seen, what's your favorite?
Ooh, it's tough between Barbie and Poor Things. American Fiction is also pretty fucking good. But Barbie and Poor Things felt the most original. So, Barbie, I think, for Best Picture for me.
Okay. That's what you want to win or that's what you think would win?
Both.
Okay.
But here's the thing. The thing about the Oscars, which we've learned in our older age where we've become more disillusioned, is that it's often a politics game. So will they choose Barbie because they were so humiliated that they didn't include Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie as best director and best actor, best actress? Well, they just choose it because they need to save face, or will they choose what they genuinely think is the best? Like, if Oppenheimer wins, I will stop watching the Oscars again.
I think Oppenheimer's definitely going to win.
No, I just can't with that. It's not like I didn't like the movie, but originality and I can't, Josh, please, no.
See, now you're bringing up a much deeper question about the Oscars and Best Pictures and what, like, it's like, what is Best Picture? Like, how do you quantify this? How can anyone be like, that's how, that, anyway.
It's so true. Oppenheimer is nowhere, there's not even a Venn diagram wherein Oppenheimer is in any way similar to Barbie, which is in no way similar to American Fiction. Like, all of these movies are so drastically different that, like, something that happens a lot with my dad, I'll be like, hey, do you like this, you know, the tacos that you're eating tonight for dinner? He's like, I like it, but I like everything. How can I decide that this is the best taco that I've ever had when I love lobster as well? And he loves everything equally. It can't just like pick. And I feel like that's the same with it. It's like Oppenheimer is tacos and Barbie is whatever. And like, this is a stupid list. Now I'm fired up.
Yeah, there we go. I got you here. Finally. By the way, what your dad said, that's like wise beyond years. Like I'm trying to wrap my head around that. When you love everything, how can you love something more?
Yeah. That's how it frustrates me to no end. But
I love it. I love that. Okay, well, I think Oppenheimer's going to win.
I feel like Killers of the Flower Moon is going to win.
Really?
Yeah. One of those two, though.
All right. Well, I loved American Fiction, by the way.
It's so good.
I love Barbie. I really love The Holdovers. We've talked about that on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I really liked Oppenheimer, and I think it's going to win.
How many of these have you not seen?
I haven't seen The Zone of Interest. I have not seen Past Lives. And I have not seen Anatomy of the Fall, of a Fall.
Okay. So we're the same, a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, obviously Oppenheimer's not like a feel-good film, but I really do steer towards films that I can't just don't depress me. Like I really,
yeah.
There's, you know, and especially if you are in a relationship or if you're married or whatever, it's like, you're like taking time out of your day with your significant other to watch one of these movies. And you don't want to like leave a Friday evening depressed and being like, all right, well, let's go to bed. We just watched, I feel bad about my life in the past and I don't know what's happening. Like I just, with movies, I just want to be entertained and see some creativity and see a message that's not going to just spiral me down into, you know, I don't know, something, some very dark place.
It's true. I agree. So question for you.
Yeah.
I thought the blockbuster category was coming this year.
No, it kind of got vetoed. They brought it into the Golden Globes. Yeah, there was like this big uproar. I think I was like the only person, and possibly you, that was like pro blockbuster award.
Yeah.
But I think that's a slippery slope because I think what will happen with that, for instance, like best blockbuster. And then like, let's just say Barbie would win best blockbuster.
Mm.
Then you're kind of like, well, wait a minute. That's the best picture. Like it, what is a blockbuster? What is best picture?
Yeah, I see that.
Again, these tentpole movies that carry the industry should be recognized. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, agree.
Okay.
Okay. So you think Oppenheimer. I also think Oppenheimer or Killers, but I want Barbie to win. What do you want to win?
You're not going to like this answer.
Oh.
Because I love Christopher Nolan as much as I love Christopher Nolan.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of want him to get a best picture. I do. I hate to say it. If Barbie won, I'd be incredibly happy, like ecstatic. But I think there's just something about Nolan. He's been in my life for so long, and his movies have like shaped me in a way. And it's one of those things where you just start rooting for a person.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know. I believe in underdogs, Josh.
You think Barbie's the underdog?
Yes.
What if something like out of the blue, like what if like, what if like Maestro wins?
I think the entire theater would go silent. Like there would just be mass confusion. Holdovers right. Wins. No.
The holdovers. All right. I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Best director. Jonathan Glazer, Zone of Interest. Poor Things director. Yogo. I can't pronounce his name. So how do you pronounce this? Yorgos Lanthimos?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Obviously, no. Is that it? Oppenheimer, Nolan, Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Justine Trite for Anatomy of a Fall. I don't even know who that is.
She's French.
She's French for sure. And I apologize.
So it's probably like
Trier. Oh my God.
How about we allow Christopher Nolan to win this category?
I will allow it.
Give Best Picture to someone else.
I'm totally down for that. I allow it. That's a good compromise.
Here's a question for you. You saw Poor Things. The directing was obviously very different. Like, very different skills were applied in both movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one was better than the other? Or like my dad, they're just different and I love them both equally. Like, how would you make this decision between a Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer and a Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things that are so drastically different?
Well, I think you have to kind of look at the scale of a movie and think about what went into a movie. And it's hard to hold people's attention for 3 hours. I mean, it's tricky because I think they're both incredible. These are like the top tier, highest caliber directors. I'm like, I'm Team Tasha's dad. I'm not really too sure how to like quantify which one is better. I don't think there is like,
different.
That directing is better. Like I love Barbie.
Who do you think is gonna win?
Christopher Nolan.
Okay. I think so, too. I think Yorgos would be a very surprise choice because it is so kind of bizarre and non-traditional that you're honored because you're nominated, because clearly that was an undertaking that you did exceedingly well at. But let's be real. I say in the voice of the Academy, it's obviously Christopher Nolan.
There we go. Okay. Best actor. Do you care?
I do care. I do care. It's a very varied category. I mean, it's just the clips I've seen of Maestro, and I've seen a lot. He's exceptional. He's like, he's transformed himself into someone else. And that's exactly what a front of the camera actor needs to do, is they need to disappear and become this person. And he did a fabulous job. But all of these people did that. Like, they all kind of disappeared, except for, like, Jeffrey Wright, I thought, did exceptional. And then I saw a bunch of interviews of him talking about American Fiction afterwards. I was like, oh, he is that character. Like,
oh, really?
The way he speaks is very similar to the character. His sort of sense of humor and his sort of snobbery in the best way, because I get that. His sort of like literary elite kind of snobbery comes out. So I don't know. Maybe he didn't disappear as much as everyone else, but he still did a fabulous job. What do you think?
I love Paul Giamatti in the holdovers. I don't think he'll win. I'm just saying. I love Jeffrey Wright, but I think Murphy will win for Oppenheimer. I'm going Oppenheimer sweep, man. This is like...
I think he will too. It's such an understated performance that still gives so much, which is so hard and so interesting. Like, the emotions in his face when he's seemingly not doing anything is incredibly impressive.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually did not see Rustin, so I don't know how Coleman's performance is, but I love him as an actor. He's so talented.
Do you think the casual viewer of the Oscars has seen... I mean, oh, I know the answer is no, but like, what percentage of films do you think the casual viewer, like our parents or something, like what do you think they've seen of films? Like, what percentage?
Yeah. I would say like 20. Yeah. Like, our parents aren't going to go see Poor Things.
No. I, you know, going back to your comment about like the spectacle that is the Oscars, like red carpet, it's interesting because that draws people in. I hate to say it, for better or worse, that is the thing that really hooks people into watching, and it makes it an event. It's like, here's the pregame. Okay, now let's watch the Oscars. Let's watch, you know, the opening monologue.
I do enjoy that section, actually. I enjoy it more than I used to. I used to find it very boring, but I now enjoy hearing the actors and actresses talk about their film. And I think that helps what we're talking about. Like, I've never seen Anatomy of a Fall, but when the actress comes on and starts talking about her experience with the movie and I get to see her personality, I'm like, oh, like, that's now interesting to me, because I've made like a personal connection to her and how cool she is on the red carpet. And now I want to go see her cool movie.
Yeah.
So it's definitely super helpful in getting people to watch these. And also, it's really fun to see these movie stars who are larger than life on the screen, literally and figuratively, be sort of quote unquote real on the red carpet.
Yeah,
and obviously it's not. We all heard the stories. They can't wait to get home, take off their dresses and suits and just eat In-N-Out for the rest of the night. But yeah, I agree.
Okay. Something else I just might have said, but now that you just got me fired up again thinking about it, it's just like, I love the celebration of movies. I love it. I think that's probably what I should have led with. I really do. I love like this, like the industry coming together and you're just talking movies, man. It's great.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Me too. It gets me excited.
All right, Tasha. Who do you think is going to win Best Actress?
I don't know. I think it's between Lily Gladstone and Carey Mulligan, though I think it should be Emma Stone.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably between those two. Annette Bening is nominated. I actually didn't see her movie. It came and went for me.
Yeah.
Nayed, but clips I've seen, she looked awesome as always. She's a fantastic actress. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things. Carey Mulligan is always so good. I just feel like she also always does a lot of similar roles, and this is another one. Not that she didn't knock it out of the park, she did. But Emma Stone is just, like, that performance is so bizarre and yet so emotional. Like, she does so much in that movie. She's juggling so many things at the same time and performing to the top of anyone's ability, that like that performance was the most impressive for me as an actress.
Okay. I'm with you.
Who do you think?
I agree with everything you said. I think Lily Gladstone will win.
Yeah.
I think Emma Stone was amazing.
Yeah. I would like to talk about animated feature films.
There we go. I don't know why I was just going down a list and I was like, just get me to animated feature films.
Yes, please.
Okay. What's nominated? Let's hear it.
The Boy and the Heron.
Okay.
Elemental, the Disney movie. Nimona.
Yeah.
Robot Dreams. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
I've never heard of Robot Dreams. I have not seen that.
I did not see it either.
And I've seen all of those with the exception of The Boy and the Heron, which is crazy because I should have seen that, but I did not.
Yes.
I want you to just talk about Nimona now. Just go.
It is the best movie, you guys. It's so good. And I heard it had such a difficult upbringing, as it were. I've talked about this movie before, how when I went to go talk about it at, well, I think it was like Warner Brothers, they were thinking of doing a live action movie. And then they started doing an animated movie, but then the animation studio folded in the middle of production. And so they're like, well, what do we do with this movie? And they still somehow powered through and made it. Annapurna made it, and it's on Netflix, and it's so good. It's so creative. The world is very different. I've never seen a world like that. It's like fantasy, but modern and new and fresh. And the animation itself is very unique. It has a kind of almost graphic, like almost pen and pencil quality to it, yet still feels very 3D and more palatable, like a Pixar movie tends to be. I don't know. And then the story, I cry every time I watch it. It's just so good. And it's not going to win. But I'm so proud of it for being on this list.
So I saw it in a theater, a Netflix theater. And it was an incredible experience. And I loved it. I will have to say, I do say though, like the Spider-Verse movie, Across the Spider-Verse, that movie blew me away. It was one of those, like, I was like, oh, God dang. I mean, it's just like, it's like art just flying into your eyeballs. It's unbelievable. But I love Nimona. I loved Across the Spider-Verse. So.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't like want Spider-Verse to win just because it's the obvious choice, but it's obviously going to win. And it obviously deserves to win out of all of those. In my opinion, it deserves to win.
Oh, okay.
It deserves to win over Nimona. But I love Nimona. Do you think Elemental's going to win though?
No, I think The Boy and the Heron's going to win.
No, really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, no.
I do. It's a Miyazaki
movie. Make me very angry again.
Yeah, no, good. I think it is. I don't know why. I loved Spider-Verse so much. I actually don't feel like that movie gets enough love. I actually think it should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Oh,
that's
shit.
How much I like Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was a great story. It was so well written and executed. Yeah. Boy and the Heron I saw, and I get why it's on here. It's sort of elevated storytelling, but I disliked it. It's beautiful. The animation is beautiful, but I did not like it.
It is so hard to make an animated film that kind of crosses over into adult sensibility while holding the attention of a child. I'm saying this as someone who has a child and just seeing how this like unfolds. It's like hitting this perfect bullseye. And I think Nimona did it. Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I think just because of the visuals, with definitely, like, at least my viewing experience with my daughter, she was just like, what the fuck? Like, it was like something with like laser beams like blasting into her eyeballs.
That's so cool.
I don't know. It's just so difficult. It's in animation, it's unbelievable when that like can come together and it just hits like that perfect area, which is what Tomb Raider is going to do as well, by the way.
Your lips to God's ears, man. You know what I'm saying? Jesus.
Listen, I got sucked in going category to category because I love the Oscars. We don't have to do that because there's a lot of categories, but should we talk screenwriting?
I was just going to say, but we have to get into the screenwriting.
We have to. Take us.
Okay.
Go.
Writing adapted screenplay. American Fiction, written by Cord Jefferson. Barbie, written by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. Oppenheimer, written by Christopher Nolan. Poor Things, written by Tony McNamara. Zone of Interest, written by Jonathan Glazer. So, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, are we getting into the adapted screenplay thing? The adapted Barbie?
Adapted screenplay thing.
I mean, like, in the sense of, like, is Barbie an adapted screenplay?
You know, in the WGA Awards, it's nominated under the original category.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Listen, I would love if Barbie won. I would love it.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. Just to like give it some love. But I love American Fiction. I think the writing in it was incredible. If I'm just like,
yeah,
I think the writing in American, I mean, it's just that it hits on so many different topics, and it does it in such a subtle way that I think it's, then that's so hard to do. I thought the writing that was just like awesome. So those are my thoughts.
I'm curious how they judge these, because an adaptation can mean so many things, right? Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, they had to adapt a toy that had no story whatsoever. Yeah. And they were told so many different things about what this movie should be, because it's just a marketing tool. At the end of the day, that's what they wanted and needed this film to be. But they didn't want to do a film like that. They wanted to do a film that meant something and were using Barbie as a vehicle to mean something to people. And that is an impressive skill. The same way that Lego was when that movie came out. There's no story to Lego, and they created this incredible story that was so enjoyable and pure and amazing. So, like, that's an incredible act of adaptation. Oppenheimer, we've all heard, I think, at this point, interviews about everyone, all the actors who read the script for Oppenheimer and how immediately impressed they were and just blown away by the script. And part of the reasons why is that it was written in first person, which is a fascinating way to write a script. And he was, I believe, don't quote me on this, he was, I believe, adapting a nonfiction book about Oppenheimer. And when you have a nonfiction book like that, you have to cut so much stuff out of the world and then create emotions out of it, right? Like, it's not like reading a novel that already has an emotional arc built into the storytelling of this book, because it's taking you on a journey. Like, he had to find what that was and hone in on it. And in many ways, like, it's almost unoriginal, because you are just taking inspiration from a book that sort of structures something about Oppenheimer, right? Poor Things, I don't know the original books of any of these, actually. So I don't know. But that's kind of the question, is when you're judging for adapted screenplays, is part of the judging reading the original source material and then deciding if the adaptation was an exceptional piece of writing or like just a straight translation of the book? Like, how do you judge it? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
A member of the Academy needs to come on.
I was just thinking someone has to explain this.
Yeah. I actually know a member of the Academy. I should ask her to come on next Oscars.
Yeah, let's do it. Plant the seed so we can understand this, what's going on.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite script out of those or favorite movie? Like, if you were like, okay, this is who should win.
Writing-wise, Barbie, I think it worked on so many different levels that did not make any sense to me. The skill with which that movie was executed on a writing level blew me away.
Yeah. Should we do original screenplay?
Let's go. Anatomy of a Fall by Justine Triet and Arthur Harari. The Holdovers by David Hemmingson. Maestro by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer. May December by Sammy Birch. Story by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic. Past Lives written by Celine Song.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to our boy Alex Convery, who wrote the movie Air. I love that script. I loved it. Listen, I'm a little...
Adapted or original, though?
Oh, that's interesting.
Based on a true story.
Oh my God, that, again, that's very interesting.
But Alex, yes, your name should be on this list.
This is now, all right, well, I'm not going to go down this road, but it's like, why is Maestro an original screenplay?
Agree, it's based on a life.
May December, without directly saying it, was loosely based off of that Mary Kay Letourneau story. You know what? My head's spinning right now. I don't like this. Something's not right here. Okay.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is weird.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
I don't know how I feel about this original screenplay list right here. I'm just going to be honest. It doesn't excite me as much as I want it to.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I'm not taking anything away from anybody. I'm just saying, as I'm stepping out as an Oscar watcher, viewer, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think I want to say that if any of you want to read any of these screenplays, that reach out to us at act2writers@gmail.com and we can send you them, because it's always worth reading the screenplays that were nominated to see what the hell's going on.
Totally. Not only that, but watch the movie while reading the screenplay is like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It is. It's like, whoa, how this happened, the way things are described and everything.
I have two final questions for you, both of which the answers may be long. What movies do you feel like you would have loved to see on these lists that are not on here?
There's only one that really, that's a long answer. I think because there's just certain movies that I absolutely love that I think are just incredible. Like, you know, there's, I love me some Mission Impossible, obviously. I think that's like, it was like a feat to me.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion. But you know what movie that I just felt like did not get any love, but I personally really liked it? Iron Claw with Zac Efron.
Yeah, I need to see that. And I'm a wrestling fan, so I'm bummed that I haven't gotten to it yet.
I was like in tears watching this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, it's a sad story, a sad family story.
I also didn't really know, I didn't know the story and I didn't know fully what the movie was about. And I, if anyone can go into it with that view, but I think it's better because you just kind of belong for the ride. And I like had to like look up the story afterwards. I was like, holy shit. I just thought it was great. I thought Efron was great. I thought the movie was incredible. So that's it. My Iron
Claw. What about
Iron
our
Claws.
Boy from The Bear? How'd he do?
He was good. He was great. Everyone was great in the movie.
Okay. Well, come.
Why? What about you? What's missing from this the Oscars?
I don't know, because my brain goes between what did I love versus what feels like a quote-unquote Oscar movie. And those are obviously different things. So for me, a movie that's missing is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle animated movie. That should definitely be in the animated movie list.
I agree.
But in terms of, in terms of Oscar movies, Oscar-worthy movies this year, I think that's the one that sticks out for me. Everything else I enjoyed, but maybe doesn't make the Oscar list.
Hey, if I had enough, like, brain power, I would force us to do, like, the feel-good Oscar awards or something, like the Act Two feel-good awards, where it's, like, all these movies like Wonka, Mission
Dungeons
Impossible.
And Dragons.
That's a great, yes, that, was that 2020? Wow. And then,
March.
Oh, like Ninja Turtles, all these movies where it's like, this is our pick for Best Picture. I might do, maybe next year I'm going to make us do that.
Yeah, I feel like we can do it after the Oscars come out too. Just real quick, these would be our Best Picture nominees.
I agree. That'd be fun.
My second question is, do you have any Oscar traditions, Oscar watching traditions?
At this point in my life, it's not a tradition, but I can tell you what I'm going to be doing because it basically is a tradition. I'm going to get home. I'm going to prep a charcuterie board.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour some rosé.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on the couch. I'm going to fire up the Oscars, Tasha. That's how I'm watching.
Are you going to watch them by yourself or does your wife and does Emilio?
Yeah, no, they're involved. Like them? This is definitely not a charcuterie board for one. This is
because that's where the vision was in my head.
No, for sure. We know Nicole and I will go get some stuff and just get ready. And then I'm in for the night. Like it's I'm not going anywhere. It's what are you doing?
We're inviting a few people over, not huge, but a couple friends, maybe four friends are coming over. I told everyone to bring a dish and we're going to, depending on the weather, may watch it out in our backyard.
Oh, really?
And we got a fire pit out there and eat some good food and cheese dips and watch some Oscars.
Is Dave going to be there?
No. Dave has chosen a different Oscar party.
That's right. You're having an Oscar party. It's not that. Thank you for the invite, by the way.
Well, now I know what you're doing and that feels more fun.
No, it's not. It's just, you know when you just need to like watch something and then you just roll into bed?
It's the best.
That's where my night's going. But
I love
your night sounds pretty freaking awesome in the backyard. Get the lights going.
That'll be great. We're going to do a little Oscar pool at the same time. So
really?
Yeah, people are going to win some money.
Okay. This is great. Freaking Oscars.
It's the best. Okay, so for those of you who enjoy the Oscars like Josh and I do, and you are going to watch it or you feel invested, we are doing an Act Two Oscar pool that we would love for you to join. So actually, if you become a member of our Patreon at the at either of the tiers, the $5 or the $10 tier, you will be sent an Oscar ballot that you can fill out and send back to us. And whoever wins will get a special something something. And yeah, so I mean, I think it'll be fun. Get to compete against other writers, what they think is going to win, and you get a prize at the end.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think so too. So join the Patreon. It's patreon.com/act2writers, and join one of the $5 or $10 tiers, and you will receive an email very soon with the Oscar ballot for the Oscar pool.
Boom.
Okay. Quote of the day.
Boom.
I think that if you go about making movies to win Oscars, you're really going about it the wrong way. Nicolas Cage.
Of course, Nicolas Cage.
Please remember to rate and subscribe. Follow us at Act Two Writers for more awesome writing stuff. You can follow me, Tasha, at Story Thursday on Instagram or on Twitter at Tasha3.0.
I'm Joshua Hallman on Twitter, Josh Hallman on Instagram.
And as always, the Act Two podcast is a production of Act Two, a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter. This episode was edited by Paul Lundquist.